Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On the 30-meter line, they're going to take it. They're going to take it soon. Pierce to the 30. They run for a try now. It's come down to Graham. Back to the middle. It's found Minicello. A long-range shot from Anesta.
He's got it.
Oh, what a kick.
He got a kick.
Hello, and thanks very much for tuning in to this week's episode of the NRL show. Delighted, as always, to be joined by the Tash. How are you, mate? How's things?
Not too bad.
Good. Enjoy the action this weekend?
Yeah, it was enjoyable. It was, I'd say you're more than happy, I think.
Yeah, we'll get to it, mate. I can't wait for you to regale. You're on.
I think I have the shortest review of that game ever.
Oh, I'm going to love that.
It gets worse though next week.
Yeah. What I was going to say, and obviously a bit of domestic news as well, with the NRL Lions taking place this weekend in Terenure. So, curtain raises to the season. Unofficial, I suppose, but. Great nonetheless, bit of domestic action to follow this season. So without much further ado, we might kick into the round 9 reviews. First up, Rabbitohs Broncos Thursday. Halftime scores 12 points to 6 in favour of the Broncos, and obviously they came home winners 12 points to 32. Great game this. Hard one for the Bunnies to take, having left obviously Randall to move on. They've been absolutely slated in the media, but I think given Ilias' development so far this season, I think they've made a move for the future, and they'll take the flak this week, and I generally think they're happy with their decision. Probably not happy on Thursday evening, but I think overall I think they're more than happy with their decision. That being said, We're not here to discuss the long-term futures of both clubs. For me, anyway, like, it was an absolute masterclass from Reynolds, especially given kind of the underdog label that the Broncos were going into the fixture with.
It suited him a bit, didn't it? To go underneath that,
yeah,
like,
definitely
for him,
suited him.
Yeah.
And just what we kind of discussed, Ilias kind of in his improvement throughout the season. Like, he wasn't amazing on Thursday night. But I think the person who's suffering the most from Reynolds leaving is Cody Walker. I think he's had a poor season. He's likely in hot water too as well. I think there was an incident on Thursday night, obviously, there where he was involved in the brawl. So he's in a bit of hot water. And I obviously like the natural plaudits go to Reynolds, but for me, the Broncos line defence this week, and also last week against the Sharks too, to be fair, was exceptional. So my stat for the week, 69%, because I've been dying to get 69 into the show for quite some time. Set completion for the Bunnies, 30 sets out of 42. It's the third time this season, all of which have been losses, that they've completed below 70% this season. So yeah. And to add, Tash, or...
No, I thought, as you say, Reynolds had an exceptional game, just controlled the game so well, like, put his own stamp on it there. I hear there's some news coming out. If the Rabbitohs won, they played an unregistered player.
The Rabbitohs?
Yeah, Peoples, is it? He was a debutant, Trent Peoples. He wasn't cleared under the NRL salary cap. So if they won, they would have been deducted the 2 points. So it's a bit of a strange one for a club so big, like, to make a mistake like that. So it would have been a different story altogether.
Yeah. so they can say, or the line, we didn't want to win anyway.
Yeah. He's outside the club's top list of 30 players, like, so he didn't get clearance then, so it was just strange for a club, so they should have that stuff all teed off, like.
Well, bit like us and Xavier Savage last year. So yeah, look, not much to add. I don't know if the result does much to tell us about what the fortunes of both sides will be this season, but look, great result for the Broncos, and they're delighted right now with their signing.
I think it shows as we say, like, the Rabbitohs aren't there. They have a few problems, like, still, and the Broncos are coming better, like, are becoming a good team, like a middle of the Bunnies table almost, team.
I think the Bunnies are almost in a mini rebuild.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you know what I mean? Like, Ren's been there for so long and just controlled the tempo of the side for so long that they're probably always going to struggle.
Mm. You ready for this?
I'm ready for this.
And the Raiders won. Raiders and Bulldogs. So 14-4 to the Raiders. The Bulldogs started real well. Like, as we say, like, the Bulldogs aren't a bad team. Like, the pack is good, like, and if they get the ball to the edges at all, they're dangerous, like. So they got a try disallowed for obstruction in the lead up to it for the Fox again, like, which is, it's great to see him scoring, like. It's great to see him going from a good team to, this is not a great team, but still being able to carry that ability over, like, it's not just the it's not just a storm way, like. He is a great player, like. Then it was mainly the Raiders. Then after that, Whitehead scored the corner from a lovely sweep move, and then Frawley. I have to say, Frawley played well all game. Like, I had a few raps on him previously, like, but he controlled the tempo really well. Like, he took us to try so well.
The Cam Munster, Cam Munster impersonation.
But the fact that he walked across the line was the shocking one. Like, it was like someone tackled him. He's after walking across the lane, like, the dummy, and then dummy again. You're like going, oh, lad. But I think him and Schneider played really well.
Schneider.
Yeah. It's a thing now with Whiting coming back. Where do you play him? If they go again next week, like, is Whiting he gone for another...
Whiting is suspended for two games.
Two games. So it'd be interesting to see next week what way they go. Because it did seem to have a better flow. I'm not saying, like, Whiting is the problem, like, but I just think two halves were better.
What I also think is... Do you know how Sticky had tried this thing at the start of the season? We put Frawley in at hooker and then bring on Tom Starling.
Yeah.
Like, I get the logic behind that, but what's... impressed me over the last two fixtures, and I know we lost last week to the Warriors, different reasons aside, Adam Elliott starting a hooker just really brings that physicality, and it's kind of something we missed when we got rid of Silva Avili. I think that's how you'd kind of play Tommy Starling. I don't know if Tom Starling will ever be that 80 minute hooker. Maybe he could develop further, but
the way he plays,
that's how he'll be playing it right now.
Yeah, the way he plays, it doesn't suit, like, you see
his strengths.
Yeah, like Grant and the Storm can go 8 minutes in the club, but then there's levels to the game, like, so that's his level, but would he be able to do that in Origin, like, or stuff like that? He'd be a 60 minute Origin player because of the speed, like, it goes in levels. What did I say? Unfortunate, like, Croker first game back starting, scored a try, kicked his points, and then dislocated his elbow or shoulder.
Initial reports, though, are it's not actually that bad. He did the scans this morning, and I think they reckon he might only be out for 3 weeks.
Hopefully.
That's to be confirmed.
Did play well.
Was in a lot of pain, but then apparently they interviewed him after the game, and he was feeling a lot better.
All right. So that's
probably because he absolutely swallowed a green pen.
That's always a good option if you have it.
Feel great, mate.
Yeah. I could do that every morning. That'd be great.
Yeah,
it's just unfortunate that his comeback game and to get injured. But as you say, hopefully it's only 3 weeks, because his defensive reads for like rookie, like he's great on the edge with what's the other winger? Your man came back from the Bulldogs. Cottridge. The two of them work really well together, like big body outside him, and he can force them to him, like he uses Cottridge a lot, like a winger using the sideline, you know, that way that he'll force the defence into where he wants to put him, like. I just think with Whiting coming back, maybe it could be an option of Whiting going into 13 and having the two halves, and then you still have your Adam Elliott to play that 9 role for 20 minutes, like break up the halves, or break up the middle. And see, I think Ricky can't.
I mean,
really,
potentially, I mean,
he's no real options. This is his first win in a while, like, and he didn't have a star player.
it's
things to look at, like.
Because Jack always plays well at centre when he gets a shot at origin.
He's a big body as well, like, he's well able to go in the middle, like.
It's more how he hits the. It's less he's a big body, and it's more the line, the angle.
Yeah,
hits
the
line.
Yeah,
the
angle
for me.
Hit, like, yeah. And defensively, like, he's solid.
He runs bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'd say it's more that he is run first when he's in there. He has to control the game, and that takes away from that running game. Like, so he has to think of what I have to do next instead of just crashing up and having someone else to do the thinking for him. Like.
Mm. Yeah. No, definitely. And that's why he was at his best when he had Aiden Caesar. I know he won the Dally M the year after with George Williams, but I thought his better season for him was when he had the control in half outside him and Aiden Caesar. Something who I, to this day, maintain we should never have let go. But look.
You got over it.
I get over it. Not looking forward to this weekend all the same.
Yeah.
Next up, Penrith Para. 10-10 at half time, 22-20. And well, Para the best in the West. Pulled off the shock.
So they sing after.
Yeah. Really flipped the form book on its head. Obviously, Para had been one win out of the last three. Losses to the Tigers, and who lose the last weekend?
Sorry, I forgot.
Look, it's regardless anyway. Plenty of controversy in this one as well.
They lost the
from the missed knock on from kick out, and then the Cleary kick just before half time, which is under investigation, I think, at present.
I think they're not going to deduce points, but someone might get a slap on the wrist and a fine.
Someone might get a slap on the wrist akin to a Roosters water boy in a grand final. But look, I think Parra deserved it, and it's brilliant for the comp, because like we were coming on here every week and we're saying,
who can touch the Panthers, I'm back
in Penrith.
Yeah.
And look, we had actually, well, a few weeks ago we flagged this as a kind of a litmus test for the Para. And that was obviously before they lost the Tigers and then lost the Cowboys last week. But it could be a kind of a season defining result. I could really set them up on the road. Because if you've beaten Penrith, I think you'd automatically back yourself against anyone in the comp now.
They hope you can go on a roll before the Origin season comes around, and they lose a few points to that. Like, I would won't lose a lot. Paulo might go.
And like, Penrith don't. Yeah, Paulo.
They might bring Regan.
Maybe Mitch Moses, so. Dylan Brown obviously won't be nowhere near it. Reid Mahoney might be involved in the Queensland camp. He won't start. But he might be involved in it. Would you throw Ryan Madison in? I think he'd be worth.
His form is unbelievable, like.
especially with the injuries you've seen. Kind of, you know, obviously Josh Corns probably gonna miss it now as well. But look, and Penrith even had kind of returning stars in kind of Brian Tao and most of the other. So look, it's definitely worth a rewatch, even if you watched in full while pretending to work from home.
I think the physicality was exceptional, though. Some of the hits was ridiculous on both sides. And then
when May got over for a second try, I was thinking, "This is
the knock on.
This is over." And no, the flick pass.
Oh, right, yeah, sorry, yeah.
Do you know when you flicked it on his second try?
Yeah.
I was thinking, this is Penrith aren't going to fall back from here. No, they're going to kick on.
They're going to kick on. Yeah.
So. Yeah. No. Are you ready for a little stat?
Yeah.
Possession. Probably the first time this has happened to Penrith, but they didn't leave possession at all.
Okay.
Half one, Penrith had 48% possession. Parra had 52%, and half two, Penrith had 43% possession. And Parra had 57% possession. So it's probably the first time all season we haven't seen Penrith
dictator
lead possession, and they've led it in a big way. You think of, like, say, the Raiders fixture, where we did not get out of our half for the second half. Do you know?
They're happy to give you the ball, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
The possession was against us.
Excellent fixture. Sets this weekend up very nicely indeed.
Yes. Next one, Eagles and Tigers. 36-22 to the Eagles. The Eagles looked impressive. They were very coast to coast again, as I said before. They were able to shift the ball from left edge to right edge at ease. Like, the first try came down the right edge, Ben Trbojevic, one of the other brothers.
Burbo,
yeah. It's like, please don't make that stick.
it's gonna stick.
Yeah, so he got one on his on the right edge, and then the next one, Ruben Garrick got it on the left edge, right out far. Like, it just shows you their ability to go coast to coast. Like, it doesn't matter what edge they go down. And then to Loto scored on the right edge again. Like, they went coast for three tries. DCE then scored from lovely break from it was a kick return from the back. Called a mid little break and popped it back inside, and then DC bet rounded the fullback from like his 70 meters, like, which was a bit poor, I thought, of the Tigers finish. Like, yeah, great finish, like, but I just thought that as you there, like, the commentators were always talking about this Tiger spirit, like, if the Tiger spirit, someone should have came across and tackled them. But as it went on, like, the Tigers never really went away. Like, their attitude, yeah, they're starting to turn. Now, it might be a while now till get the next victory, but they're starting to become a team, and you can see the improvement every week, which is impressive. Like, I think, yeah, it's after silencing the pressure on the coach as well. Like, there's a lot of chat of, is this him done? Is this him? Maguire gone. The last 3 weeks, nothing's been said about Maguire in the media at all. Oh. It's gone deadly silent. Like, poor Sticky's getting more than Vecchia Maguire now, and even with a victory there. So, I just thought that the Eagles, just their ball movement, how well they looked moving the ball. Like, the centre, Colo, is looking really well there. He's looking established in the centre, like, a young fella, like, his up defence, he's so quick up, like, that when your man gets the ball, he's underneath him, like, he, you know, that way you can't step him or anything. Yeah. So with this, that's great. And as DCE is just class, just having a really good year.
Yeah,
I just say.
Obviously the key talking point probably happened off the field for Manly this weekend. Obviously, an announcement that Kieran Foran is heading to the Gold Coast next season.
I think that was announced just to shut the talk of Schuster last week, with his agent saying that he was signed a verbal promise of playing in the halves. It could be Titans, but I think it was the Eagles as well, happily to accept it, that it'll put the pressure off them on this Schuster issue, like, that they're saying he's going, like, and then Schuster is the man. Now, Schuster played, like, he's a talent, like, but
absolutely, but yeah, no, I kind of see him more as like a ball playing Lucy.
Yeah, like, the position he's playing, is it suits him so well, like, because he's a big body. Yeah. Like, You can't see him like standing in the halves, like, and then not running or doing what he does, like.
Yeah, I don't see it, and I also think it's a terrible move for the Titans. I know Foran has kind of impressed us at points throughout the season, but
yeah,
he's still someone who's never really had that form outside of Manly.
I think last year was his first season that he's played 15 games in a long time, which is
And he's 31. I just...
And everywhere he went, it's
probably not...
That was not Manly. He did not play well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think just Manly suits him, which is unfortunate.
I think he's obviously Desi's illegitimate child or something.
Yeah, definitely. There's something going on.
I think he actually was good the first season at the Bulldogs, but Desi was over the Bulldogs that time.
Yeah, and then he left and went back to Manly, and then that was it.
Yeah. Left him in a mess. Yeah, I don't really have much to add on this. Ben Dvojevic does look a talent.
Yeah, he was
very talented family.
He was the start at centre, and then he was moved to the second row. And he's still, like, he's a big body. Now he's a bit still raw in defence. So I think they'll have to work on that. But, like, he's all the ability, I think, that he'll have.
When you consider he's missed an awful lot of football over the last 2 years as a result of COVID.
Yeah, like, there was no...
That's a significant chunk for young players' development.
Yeah, there was no junior cups.
Yeah. Good to move on?
Yep.
Perfect. Next up, Roosters Titans. 44-16 Roosters. Halftime score is 24-10 in favour of the Roosters. Yes, I don't know where to land on this Titans side. We've discussed them kind of a fair bit this season. There's plenty of talent, but like, for patches, they were definitely the top side on the park in terms of effort. But then at other parts, the defensive effort wasn't like minimal, it was absent. And there's this worrying trend of one lack in scoring efficiency, and then periods where they just concede points in bunches. Like, so they conceded 3 tries in 11 minutes in the first half, 23rd minute, 34th minute, and then again in the second half they conceded 4 tries in 15 minutes. 61st minute, 76th minute. The Roosters definitely look better than they've done in recent weeks. Big week in terms of try scorers, with Tedesco getting his 100 by a hat-trick and Tupou closing in on Mini. And Walker and Carey looked a lot better. Maybe they are building, maybe we were panicking too early, maybe it's Maybelline. My stat for the Titans, 34 missed tackles. It's just not good. Like, who are they in the Knights?
Yeah. And then, like, for all the pressure that's coming off of Fida, he's definitely not the problem, like, in this team. I know he's part of the problem, but he's definitely not the major issue that, like, people have to look past for Fida not getting his minutes. And even the minutes he's getting and the runs he's making, he's average. Like, I know he's not getting his £1 million. They're not getting £1 million out of him, but he's still one of the top static back rows in the comp. Like, but they have so much else going on that I think... It's, as you say, it's easy to point the finger at Paul Fafita, like, because he's on that money. Like,
the problem with me for Fafita is, like you said, it's not his fault. It's the halves he's played with. Like, so Fafita's best plays will come from, like, an under 12 play. Is in, he picked the ball up.
It's and individual. He just run through people. Yeah, individually.
But he's never in a situation in at his time with the Broncos. He probably would get it now if he'd stayed with the Broncos, or now with the Gold Rose Titans. He's never dragged by a half and just gets a lovely pop ball on a, like, under his line, basically, right on the line, and he's put through a hole. Like
if he
had a half that could play that with him,
you could compare him to Gavin Cooper up in the Cowboys, like, outside. Thurston, he looked exceptional. Like, for years, he just stayed on his shoulder, ran that hard line. He was always an option, and that was the half back getting the, like, a good half back being able to read what's in front of him. put him through a hole. Like, if you look at his trays, he definitely got 10 trays. And who passed him every fucking tray?
Thurston.
Like, put him in. Thurston. And it's, every try will probably and look the same. Then
Michael Morgan too.
Yeah, but every try will look the same. It's just that he's the lead runner.
Yeah.
He gets to the line hard and it's just an easy pass. But you're right, the Titans don't really look for him. They have no way of bringing him into the game. Like, structurally, they have no way of bringing him into the game. There's not a set place, set piece that they actually play that will encourage him to take on the ball. And as you say, it's always just a one-off, like a ruck play or a breakdown in ball play, like he picks it up and he's gone. Like, broken play suits him so much better than the structure the Titans have to get him the ball. Like,
but they don't have a structure to get him the ball.
That's kind of he does it on his own back, like, and even that,
like all his runs will come from, like, from the center position. I know they tried to play him in the center and it was a fail or whatever,
yeah. But
if you look at all his tries, they're all down that right edge. Do you know?
Yeah, it's not good.
So, yeah.
No.
Next.
Cowboys and the Knights.
Mm.
So 36-16 to the Cowboys. The Cowboys are starting to look like a real top 8 team. Form wise, they are.
Sounds like a top 4 team.
Well, I think they've dropped severely down in the betting ranks. I think they've dropped nearly 20 points in the betting for premiership. I think the halves are working really well. They're nearly working to their limit, as in, like, they know what they can do and they're just playing that best style that suits them. And then Drinkwater on top is just a cherry on top. Like he's just so fucking silky across the ground, like, and he comes in when he wants to. Newcastle were leading at half time. It was 16-12. And then
a performance building, to be fair.
Yeah, they were playing well, like, and Ponga was coming into the game, and then 24 unanswered points in the second half for the Cowboys. Like, some of the kick diffusions that the there was none. Cowboys kicked the ball, and every time they kicked the ball, they had a man underneath it, or a man running onto a tip off. Like, Phelps is serious under the high ball, just getting his hand up and making it hard for the receiver. Like Nana. What?
He's got, like, go-go gadget arms as well.
Oh, they come out of nowhere. I don't know where he fucking does it. But his awareness of where he is in the field is ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
That he just knows. He could be upside down facing the wrong way and he knows where the try line is. Nane and Lukey are having a serious breakout season, like, for the Cowboys, like, and they'll be pushing. I don't know what way their alliance is, but I think if they're Queensland, they could be an owl burner for that. Like, yeah, you could see. I think the coach is under serious pressure after this. I know they lost. Well, I know he sat down the half, Clifford, and Clune was injured, so they were going with two other halves, like, that haven't seen much game time. But even that, like, their pack isn't doing well. Like, their pack aren't getting near enough meters to even compete with some of these teams, like. And I think it's. They're still very old fashioned in the way they play it. Like, they have big centres, so they use them as more forwards. Like they think they're just going to brush people out of the way, like, where there's no manipulation of space or dragging people out of defence or biting into the line and passing out the back, like, which they can't do because defence will just read it and slide off you.
And they've probably overpaid.
Don't say him.
Put Ponga. What?
Don't say him. Ponga.
No, I was saying park Ponga for a minute, but, like, outside of the spine pieces, they've probably overpaid. Like, Saifi, I haven't seen it from this season. Frizzell is consistent, but he's a lower consistency than he's been the past couple of seasons. Yeah. David Clemmer's probably on too much money based on the production you're getting from him.
And the contract stuff, so they've
probably overpaid for, like, these players that they thought were going to be the best at their position in the comp, and they're just not. So I think it's a big mess, I think, to rejig that salary cap. And look, obviously they've had two unlucky seasons with Braden Brayley out injured, but I see it as a bit of a mess. And I think O'Brien, he's not under the pressure he probably should be, given where they are on the table.
It's like, strange a little bit for with all the,
like, if I told you at the start of the season the Knights would be playing the Doggies in round 10 Magic Weekend, and it will be a bottom of the table clash, and the Doggies would be ranked higher than the Knights.
Well, especially with the way the Knights started the season.
Their premiers after 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think the loss of Gaga is going to be serious for them. Like, he's another 3 weeks to go. And it's the only bright spark they have coming back.
Yeah. Knights are a mess.
Oh, big thing.
Next fixture?
Yeah.
Storm Dragons. Storm 42, Dragons 6 was 12-0 at halftime. Here's a fact for you. You're probably already aware of. The Storm can score from anywhere on the pitch.
Storm are really good.
Yeah. That's good. They've also, like, they've set a record, I think, as well for most points through 9 rounds. But don't worry, I have another stat for you later. But
this is the Bulldogs.
We chatted about this game before in the preview, and we're just like, it doesn't matter what the Dragons do, they're gonna get pumped. You can't really take much from this fixture for either side if you're a Dragons fan, if you're a Storm fan. Like, I just feel like what we're seeing right now is the best coach in the game has responded to the rule changes the best, and that's what we're seeing, and they're blowing teams off the park. We called this one, I suppose, last week, like, and it was predictable. There's just nothing more to add to it. Storm are brilliant, we know they're brilliant. The Dragons have some way to go. My stat for you though, the poor Dragons. The Storm had 62% possession and a total of 45 sets. They completed 39 of those. The poor Dragons only had 30 sets and they completed 22 of them, which isn't a bad set completion.
Which isn't bad,
by any means.
It's over half.
But when the opposition completes nine more sets than you actually have,
it's not a good look
for a runaround. Yeah. So, yeah, look, that was my last fixture for the week, anyway.
Yeah. No, it's mad how Craig Bellamy, like, takes really solid players and makes them into superstars. Like, you look at the performance of Nick Meady on the wing, like, he ran for 149 metres. Like, the try he took was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And poor...
Where's we been saying all year?
Mbai was... God, love I don't Nick know what Meady. He was doing. He was holding his... He was, I think he was hugging himself. He didn't even make an attempt to tackle him. Like, he just outstepped him, like, and he's gone. Like, what the... like, and then the same with Josh King as well, like... Josh King's having a great season, like, for a fella that you wouldn't have thought much, like, at the beginning, like, and same with me, like, you wouldn't have, when he was signed for them, you think, alright, this is another fella that's, he might have the ability.
Should have known better.
Yeah, that's it.
Should have known better.
Bellamy knows. It'd be great to be flying the wall and see the way he picks players, like, and then Eminem was playing for them as well. The real Slim Shady came out. He's just a header ball altogether, that fella. He had the cheese on top of his head. Lord.
Yeah, God love the Doggies next season. Is he going to the Doggies?
No, the Roosters. He's which the Roosters, definitely Lord. Need him. Bears is out for another one.
Imagine
the
side of Connor Watson. Connor Watson.
Radley.
And Gene on the pitch at one side.
Oh, stop.
Howie Hookers or Robbie Lucy's?
Yeah.
It could be a great back row, though. Put him in the rows, isn't it, Lucy?
Be interesting to see what way. I'd say he's going for the, I'd say he was signed as a hooker, like, so you wonder what way. If Verrills, now I think Verrills is too late to play the way he's playing, so he's probably back on.
He hasn't made the jump.
No, well, he did his collarbone there at the weekend, so it'll be another while. And then the big talking point is Pap doing the hamstring.
Yeah,
close to origin. Now, I don't know what way they'll play. Like, it's so unfortunate that there's four of the best fullbacks that have ever played the game playing at this precise moment. Like, that you're that good that you know that you're not going to make a, an Origin side or an Australian side maybe. Which is very sad, like.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You'd nearly think about switching allegiance.
Yeah, go to Ireland. Is there any Irish in you? Luke Carey. next one. Sharks and the Warriors. 29-10 to the Sharks. Sharks started really well, using their shape and the slick hands again to get to the edge. And Hines scored one, nearly a full pitch try, like going through the hands down that right edge, like scoring the corner. And then the clothesline from hell. Will Kennedy
-6 fantasy points. -6.
Yeah. And he deserves every bit of them. It wasn't even that it was an accidental, it was just the beheading of Walsh. Oh, shocking. There was no justification of it. Like, there's nothing you could say. It was just oh, it was terrible.
He's just too pretty.
Yeah. And for Will Kennedy to go, what? After he's off the bin, like, he's looking at your man's neck is still attached to his body. After that, I think after Walsh got his bell rang, he started pushing into the game, scoring a try in the corner, like, and making a break for that second try, like. But then, like, the Sharks' shape for going down to 12 men to keep the shape. There's times that they were playing and they had men over on in the back line, like, against 13 men. It looked like they had the extra man in some of the shapes. Like, in the second half, they went 22 points unanswered. And they were down to 11 men for 10 minutes when Ramey got a yellow card, which is exceptional. Like, I think the Sharks will go long into this competition. The way... Is it 10 years since someone won with a red card and a yellow?
I think it's something like that. I thought I was the stat man and you're outstatting me.
That's what I was asking you. What's going on? I asked you a question.
Sorry. No,
but they looked really impressive. Like, and Hines, it was so good in a way that everything he did last week didn't come off for him. But he still tried everything again this week and it just came off him. So the fact that he's not afraid to try things and work on his game, it's going to stand him the whole way. Like, I think it was 132 points. I'm not going to say on fantasy for me, like, and he's my captain, like, so that's 264, like, but that's none of your business, Sam.
Yes, indeed, Tash. I've actually retired from fantasy.
No, you're still there.
As I do. No, I've retired. Well, like, to be fair, I actually think the Warriors proved me wrong this weekend.
They beat themselves.
Like, the Sharks were brilliant, but the Warriors, I think that's the worst I've seen them play all year. To be fair, there's an element too of the Sharks didn't let them play. So, but I think Fitzy, if you're a fan of the NBA, you'll know for the last, well, maybe not so much in the last few years, but there was a period where LeBron James was legitimately the best player in the league every single year, but they couldn't give him the MVP every year.
Yeah.
In the same way, Craig Bellamy is the best coach in the NRL every single year, but they can't give him the coach of the year every year. So I think Fitzy could be a shoe-in for coach of the year this year, given what they've done. I know they recruited well and stuff like that, but they look a completely different side this year. And it's not true experienced halfbacks, because Nico Hines isn't an experienced halfback. Yeah. He's playing brilliant, but he's not. So
now I think Moylan has a lot to do with it as well. Like, Moylan has played probably some of the best rugby he's played in a long, long time, which makes it a little bit easier for Hines to do his thing. Like,
but that's another feather in Fitzy's hat. He's got the best back out of Moylan, who's going to struggle over the last few years.
And I think he's getting serious results from lads that are on lesser contracts as well. Like, I say Hines on a big contract. Moylan could be on the arse end of a big contract. Like, but the likes of Talakai only signed because he lost his contract. So I'd say his contract was real low.
Mm-hmm.
Ramian as well signed. Like, he ran from a few clubs. Like, and Connor Tracy. Like, and them boys are playing unbelievable stuff. Like, so he's getting his money. Ramian's- he's getting. What?
Raymond got ran from the Sharks to the Knights and back.
And back, yeah.
That's where he got ran from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the deputy,
Finucane is key sign for me.
Yeah. As you say, like he's
it's in the sheds.
Yeah. Yeah, I think anyone that's not pulling away, like, there's a great story of him, like the TikTok one that he's running out, like he's sprinting 100 miles an hour running out of the shed, like Sonic the Hedgehog, the hedgehog. But supposedly in training, as soon as he puts on his boots, he goes off and does the exact same thing every training session. Takes off at 100 miles an hour, and they were saying, like, there's some of the lads in the Sharks are like, what is going on? For the first few times, like, they were like, what is going on here? Like, and then it just shows you that he's all go when he puts the boots on.
It's business. It's business. It's business. Always business. Yeah. Happy to leave the round 9 reviews there.
Yep. Done.
I think it's a great time before we get into the previews for Magic Weekend to remind all our listeners that every single listener to all productions on the Mid-Season Slump, including this one, get a month's free access to The Athletic. All you have to do is just click the link in the podcast description and you get access to the best sports journalists in the world. I mean, what more do you want?
I think you're turning me.
Anyway, moving on.
I haven't taken it up yet, but I think I will this week. You got me.
Yeah, I think I've sold one person on it. It's got to be you. Bit of a shock horror for you. I was bored on the weekend and I went back and I counted up all the corrections I've missed over the last 3 weeks. So I have updated tipping.
How close is it?
Would you believe... It's not close. would you believe the score at present? Tash, 41 correct predictions through 9 rounds of footy. The Sasquatch, 32.
Jesus.
So...
You're close enough.
Look, it's not great.
You're close enough.
It's not great.
Put it's your money great. On me. Do you think if it was money, I'd be in trouble?
Oh, if it was money,
as soon as
they
put money on it, I'd have zero. I'm gone. Yeah, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. I'd have all these great picks every once in a while, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, they're definitely going to win the Super Bowl, and no one sees them coming. And I'm like, if I put a fiver on that, they would have been 1-16 when it's over. Like, that's why I back the Raiders every season.
You're never disappointed, are you? Never. Right.
Yeah. I'm always disappointed because I always lose money and they never win. So look, Magic Weekend this weekend, it's kind of snuck up on us a little bit, I think. I think there's been more fanfare about previous Magic Weekends, and look, it's definitely a bucket list item for me. I'd love to do a Magic Weekend in Brizzy,
especially in Brizzy, because you're guaranteed the weather.
I'll have to win the lotto, but I'd love to do it. So anyone in Australia that has easy access to Magic Weekend, consider yourself lucky. There's a lot of people who love to be there. I suppose no Thursday night football this week. First fixture of Magic Weekend, Friday, 9 a.m. Irish time. Bottom of the table, but it's quite an interesting fixture. Doggies in 15th, Knights in 16th. I think the slide of the Knights is going to continue, and the Doggies are going to get a bounce back win. And I'm going Doggies 19, Knights 18. It's going to be a tussle, and I think they're just going to get it done.
Yeah, I think that with the win there 2 weeks ago, I think the Bulldogs are in better shape than the Knights. And I would agree with you with that. I think a win like that, you don't know what it does to the group. Like, and as I said, like, they got bet, like, but they still were there and thereabouts. Like, they put on some good show, like, before the
and I also think not just Kyle Flanagan, but the combination of Borton and Kyle Flanagan gets better each week. So
yeah, the more they're on the field together, the better it'll be. Yeah, I go Bulldogs up.
Fair.
The next one, Sea Eagles and Broncos, Friday at 11 o'clock. This is an interesting one. Two teams are, I think, nearly in the same sort of category. They have all the ability, but some of the form isn't there, like that end form. Like, I just have a feeling that the Broncos, after the win last week, are going to do, especially, I know it's an Eagles home game, but it's up in Brisbane, so
it's the nearest away game the Broncos
have ever played. Like, I think they have to go into a different dressing room. I think that's about it.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah. Oh no. But I think the Broncos will pull it on the Eagles.
I'm swings and roundabouts in this one, and I'll tell you why. Because I think it's going to be one of two things. The Broncos are either going to win, and probably win well enough, or they're going to be absolutely smashed off the park. Who do I back in terms of reliability? Is it the Broncos or the Eagles? It's probably the Eagles, so I'm probably going to go see Eagles, to be fair. And I'll probably live to regret that. And the gap will expand.
A life of regrets.
Anyway, next up, Warriors in 10th. The Rabbitohs in 9th. 10:55 on Saturday. I think the Rabbitohs have to bounce back in this one. I'm backing them to bounce back, and in a bit of a big way. Bunnies 24, Warriors 10. That's where I'm going.
I don't know. I have another feeling about this, the same as the thing. I just think the Warriors, the Rabbitohs aren't playing as well as they should. I think the Warriors might get a hop because they're up that way, aren't they? They're based up in Queensland, I think.
Redcliffe, yeah.
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 Redcliffe. So they're up there. I don't know if the Rabbitohs stayed up there this week, which they might have. But I think the Warriors might surprise the Rabbitohs this week.
Fair. No, it's okay. But I'm going to stick Rabbitohs because they always play well in Brizzy.
Except last week.
Always play well in Brizzy.
Oh no, that was Sydney last week, wasn't it?
That was in Sydney.
The home.
It was in Acor Stadium, yeah.
Yeah, I just think with them going up to Brisbane,
like maybe that was a Wayne Bennett thing.
Yeah. Titans and Dragons on Saturday at 8:30. The Titans need to win this game if they want their season to get back on track, and this is a must-win game for them. Dragons are coming in with the form. I think it's a four. No, they got bet there, so it's 3-1. Like,
yeah.
But they're playing good stuff. I'd like to see the Titans go out and perform. It's a game that they, as a team, that they could put it over. It's one of them that they really have to focus on. It's these games that they need to really focus on. It's not the big teams. I'm still going to go with Dragons. Again, yeah, the form is just there.
I'm all which on that. I'd love to see the Dragons lose. I just never really liked them. I can see the Titans winning, but I can't see them winning this one. I don't know why. I think if the form was even more patchy, they'd have a chance, but they've just been poor for a while, so I don't see them bouncing out of it anytime soon. Next up, first versus second, Melbourne versus Penrith, 10:45 on Saturday. Make sure you stick this one on record or sit down and watch it. It's going to be a bruiser. I might be slightly biased with the result last week. I think if you don't think Craig Wellamy hasn't watched that game over and over and over again. We talked with the Titans the week before, potentially highlighting a few weaknesses of Penrith, and I think Melbourne are going to do a job on them, especially with so many Queensland based players. I think 20-18 in favour of Melbourne.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tight. I think this is the game of the round, I think. And whoever gets out on top will have it for the rest of the season until they play each other again. Like, so they'll be tipped for the favourite as the premiers for the rest of the season until we meet each other again.
Yeah.
I think Paps is going to be a big loss for them.
Yeah.
And that loss to last week against the Eels, I'd say the Panthers are training their arse off for this magic round this week. So I'm going to go against you and play this on the Panthers. Fair. Just to have a bounce back and play.
It's a shame Rob's going to miss Pap, but I also think the fact that they were getting on a neutral venue was kind of cool as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's probably this probably suits the both teams to be like, if you're going to play them anywhere, you'd love to play them in a neutral venue. Next one, the Sharks and Raiders, Sunday morning at 4:50. I'm afraid to say, but the fact that the Sharks bet the Warriors with 11 men in the field at one stage, I think the Sharks have a bit too much for the Raiders. I think the Raiders will go well with the combination of Frawley and Schneider in the halves, but I think it's a week too soon for them to come up against a good team like this. So I am going Sharkies.
Yeah, and you know what? I completely agree with you. But fuck it, I'm going to lose the tipping anyway. I'm going Raiders. Fuck it. Nah, we haven't a hope in hell. But
do the maths there.
We've done them already this season. We'll do them again.
It's 10 rounds.
We'll do.
You pick the Raiders. How many losses? You could be like, up close. How many losses have the Raiders have? How many games did they lose?
Yeah.
The Raiders have lost.
Yeah.
You could be so close to me if you didn't pick the Raiders.
Yeah, but then they picked them against the Sharkies the first time when they won, and see, my problem was the Cowboys really buckled me. I didn't pick them against the Storm, to be fair, and I didn't pick them against Penrith. It's like, really speaking,
you're diehard, but you're not that Raiders, diehard.
Yeah, you'd fancy the Raiders in a normal season against Manly, against the Cowboys twice, and against the Warriors, to be fair. Especially after, and that first Cowboys loss came on the back of beating the Sharks. Shiza, I think is the but look, I don't care, I'm going Raiders. And I know I'm going to lose, but I don't actually care, because we're not betting money on the tipping competition, so journalistic integrity 101. Anyway, if Melbourne Penrith is the game of the round, this is close second, definitely. 7:05 Sunday, well worth getting up for. Roosters 6th, Para 5th. Imagine beating Penrith and then being in 5th still. Mad. I find this very intriguing. I can go one of two ways. I think Para can go into this game overconfident, just the style of player they have. Based on the result of the weekend, and I think they could get their asses handed them by the Roosters, because they looked a lot better. I know it was against the Titans, and the Titans weren't great last weekend, but I just think the Roosters are really starting to, they're slowly starting to click, not really starting to click, slowly starting to click. So I don't know if Parra can go back to back, and I'm going to back the Roosters in this one, and I probably regret that one as well. But yeah, I'm going Roosters.
That's so. As I haven't put my flag to any team this year, I can go wherever I want. I think they, as the Eels are looking for form, like as you say, like to beat the Panthers and still be fifth, like it just shows you how the season is going. But I think that could be a turning point for them. So, and the Roosters, as you say, they're coming on nicely, but you'd like them maybe to have another team like the Titans before they get to the Eels to really iron out that just the play, like. So it might be a week too soon for them, so I am going to pick the Eels in this one.
Fair.
Last round of Magic Round, half nine Sunday, West Tigers against Cowboys. The Tigers were decent enough against the Eagles until maybe the 20 minutes in the second half, like the end of it. But I think the form the Cowboys are in, I can't see us doing anything against them. Just the way the Cowboys, and especially when it's up there for the Cowboys, like it's up in Queensland, everything suits them, like. And just a form alone, like they are just cruising through teams like this. So I think I don't think they're going to run away with it. I think the Tigers will put up a fight, so it'd be closer than you think, but I think the Cowboys will get it done.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, look, I'm probably going to back the Cowboys, but I wouldn't be shocked to see the West turn them over here.
No, that's what I said. Like, I think it'll be closer than anyone thinks. It'd be like that. They'd be a bogey team for a team. Like, they just, you won't see it coming.
Yeah. Like, I know that the Cowboys are obviously going for 5 in a row, but we're still talking about a side who's lost to the Bulldogs this season.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's still, they're on a rich run of form, but it wasn't all that long ago that things didn't look too hot for the Cowboys, especially in the back-to-back losses after against the Roosters and the Warriors. So, yeah, look, I'll back the Cowboys, but I would definitely not be shocked to see a West win. You always get a freak result, at least one freak result in Magic Round. I think that could be it. I also think they're flying way too close to the sun in third. They've been good, but they're not that
good.
So, do expect them to come back
to the falter at some stage
later. Well, I suppose I'm really looking forward to Magic Round, let you know. Anything else to add, or are we going to call it a night?
Are we looking forward to Saturday? Hopefully, it rains all day for me.
No.
Not too warm. And it's up in Terranure, so it's an all weather pitch as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it at all. Potential to likely run around in a nice pitch is a scary thought.
I was going to say, bring your Vaseline, not for your knees, because we'll get fucked.
Yeah. No, it's gonna be a tough outing. But look, it's a big bit of crack, some good sides lined up. If you are in the South Dublin area and at a loose end on Saturday, get down to Terranure Rugby Club and watch the Orline Nines.
Starting at 12 o'clock, is it?
Plenty of crack. 12 to 12 in the final is scheduled to be at 5. Obviously, these things always run a little bit over. There's also a women's fixture as well. So, yeah, look, get down. Be plenty of free running and obese ginger props puking on the sideline. If you are about, and that's your thing. Well, that's all from me,
and that is me done.
Thank you and good night.
Good luck.
To go, 8 points all. Played to Keary, veers down the left, short past Mitchell. Beautiful pass.